Good morning, everyone. My name is Kate Ivancic. I'm coming to you from Madison, Wisconsin. And with this project, we're interested in figuring out where specifically Kernza can grow. It's got all these wonderful ecosystem services that we'll talk about more later. And it's got a lot of potential to be a good crop for systems of increased climate shock, vulnerability, and food insecurity around the globe. But some of the constraints still are trying to figure out what the vernalization and photoperiod requirements are for intermediate wheatgrass. It's a cool season crop. It's a cool season grass, excuse me. So vernalization and photoperiod are still two of the limiting factors that we were trying to pinpoint in this study. Vernalization and photoperiod being the cool weather and day length requirements for intermediate wheatgrass induction for flowering. So in this map in the lower right hand corner of the screen, this is the global wheat cultivation map, and we decided to start here as far as setting up some stimulative treatments, so a cold chamber with some light and temperature treatments that mirror some of these spots on the globe. Our treatments are across the bottom here. 4 degrees C and 10-hour days is pretty, it's our cold treatment, and it's pretty close to what you could find in, say, Wisconsin in the winter. It's good for, we expect induction for flowering with that cold treatment. 5 degrees C and 11-hour days, a little bit warmer, longer days in the wintertime. 10 degrees C and 10-hour days is what you would find in a subtropical region such as Uruguay, and 26 degrees C and 15-hour days is our greenhouse control. The floating percentages there are our percent flowering in each of these treatments. And you can see that in our cold treatment, as expected, we saw highest percentage of flowering and significance between all of those treatments. Now, some other physiological measurements that we took, starting with the red columns there, we measured spikelet number per plant. And if you look at the y-axis on the left side, you can see that again, the cold treatment had the largest number of spikelets per plant, and it was statistically significant compared to all other treatments. Looking at the gray bars there, average spikelet number per plant, there was actually no difference statistically across all of those treatments. Looking at the other y-axis spike number and the beige columns in the middle there, we looked at spike number per plant, and again, as to be expected, we saw that the cold treatment had the greatest number of spikes per plant. So some conclusions from the study. As I said, as to be expected, we saw that there was a greater increase in percent flowering with the cooler temperatures as opposed to the warmer temperatures and longer day length. However, interestingly enough, all of these treatments flowered. So that's where we're situating ourselves now. Taking a look, a closer look at those plants that did flower in the warmer treatments and seeing if we can tweeze apart, take a closer look at germplasm and genotypes that might have lower vernalization and photoperiod requirements. So our research going forward will explore some of those similar questions and focus in on some populations of greater geographic origin and range. Looking forward to talking with all of you afterward. Thanks.